So today's reading comes from the fourth chapter of Mark, beginning with the 26th verse. Then Jesus said, God's kingdom is like a seed thrown on a field by a person who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows, and the person has no idea how it happened. The earth does it all without that person's help. First a green stem of grass, and then a bud, and then a ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, the person reaps. It is harvest time. How can we picture God's kingdom? What kind of story can we use? It's like an acorn. When it lands on the ground, it is quite small, as seeds go, and yet, once it is planted, it grows into a huge oak tree with thick branches, so thick and so high that eagles nest in it. And with many stories like these, Jesus presented his message to them, fitting the stories to their experience and maturity. He was never without a story when he spoke. When he was alone with his disciples, he went over everything, sorting out tangles and untying knots. Amen. All right, so I sat all week and tried to figure out what this reading has to do with baptism. Right? Amen? We're having a baptism. So we ought to talk about baptism. We ought to talk about that inward belief that we all have, that eventually we have this public proclamation. And in some church backgrounds, when you make that public proclamation, that's when they receive you into membership. Of course, here at Gentle Spirit Christian Church, all you got to do is show up and you're considered a member. Amen? All you have to do is turn on Facebook Live and you're a member. Amen? All you got to do is join the group. However, being that person who has made that proclamation about a personal relationship with God is incredibly important. So, there are two things. One, I'll tie this all together, but I'm going to give you a riddle. And if you figure it out, the sermon will be short. If you can't figure it out, I'll just keep talking till somebody figures it out. And no, Billy, you cannot say, because you already know.
Feel free to type your answers in, and if I read them. And when I see them, I'll read them so we can get the answers.
Yeah, there you go.
You want me to write it in big letters?
Big letters so we can read it, yeah.
All right. So anyway, Reverend Steve Moylan, who wrote a sermon called The Mustard Seeds, gave this riddle. He says, about 10 years ago, a youth director on his staff told him a riddle. And then he left town on a week-long camping trip without telling me the answer. He told me the riddle, and then he said, oh, and by the way, only 17% of Stanford graduates can figure this riddle out. But 80% of kindergartners get it right away. And then he left. Obviously, Reverend Moylan wanted to strangle him, as I'm sure you're going to want to strangle me as you try to figure this out. Okay, you ready for the riddle? Is everybody listening? Everybody at home? Got your pencil? You can write it down. Here we go. What is stronger than God, more evil than the devil? Poor people have it, rich people don't need it, and if you eat it, you'll die. I will read it to you one more time, and then we'll go into the message for the day. What is stronger than God, more evil than the devil? Poor people have it, rich people don't need it, and if you eat it, you will die. Amen. Now, you'll notice that the sermon is entitled Inward Belief, Outward Proclamation. And actually, those of you who have been in the church for a while before the message come along, you knew this story that Jesus told about the mustard seed. The mustard seed's a very tiny, tiny, tiny little seed that grows up into these huge, huge plants, right? Almost tree-like. Well, I kind of like the acorn and the mighty oaks. But there are three things, for those of you who are at home taking notes, that this really says about baptism that I want you to pay attention to this morning. First, the most important things in life are invisible, but they are more powerful than the things that we can see. And if you're wondering what I mean by that, take a feel for the wind. You need air to breathe. You can't see it. And yet it fills your lungs. It enables plants to live, because what do we get rid of? Carbon dioxide. Amen, right? Which is what the plant... So there's this whole new thing as part of creation that it is not what you could see. And by the way, how about some other things that you can't see and yet they're really important? How about love? Can you see love? You can see examples, but you can't see love itself. What about mercy? Mercy can't be touched. Self-respect cannot be touched. But while those things cannot be touched, they have an impact as much as the breath of life. So when you are baptized, it's an invisible thing. You remember what happened to Jesus. The Holy Spirit descended, amen? And in the shape of a dove, they hear a voice that says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." So part and parcel to being baptized is starting with the invisible things of our faith. That love. We have a hard time, do we not? Sometimes relating to God. Because we're forever trying to draw pictures. You remember the little kid in Sunday school? You know, the teacher's walking around, they're drawing all these pictures. And the Sunday school teacher walked up to Johnny and she says, "What are you drawing?" And Johnny said, "God." And she looked at him and said, "Well, Johnny, nobody knows what God looks like." And Johnny looked at her and said, "When I'm done, they will." Amen? So, yes, God. We don't necessarily see, but we could certainly feel and experience. Number two. By the way, has anybody got the answer yet? Because I've got 3 points, but I can add 4 and 5 and 6. So, anybody here know the answer? Billy can't. Billy cannot. Oh, you were here. Are you ready, Brandon? Mm-hmm. This is a riddle. We're looking for an answer. What is stronger than God? More evil than the devil. Poor people have it. Rich people don't need it. And if you eat it, you'll die.
Daryl says pride.
Wrong. Okay. Point number two. The most successful lives of people that are baptized and the greatest accomplishments that they will do are based on the smallest things. You don't have to be an incredible preacher. You don't have to be a famous baseball player. You don't have to be that workaholic that works 80 hours a week in order to prove yourself. You don't have to do everything correct. It starts with the small things. Amen. The signs of God's realm in this world are not big churches, they're not big congregations, or gold and silver, or fantastic wealth. It's bread and wine. It was a small thing that Jesus did at that Last Supper when he gave us his body and what he memorialized as his blood. God's work can be done by flashy people. Billy Graham, Florence Nightingale, you can think of all kinds of heroes. But more often than not, it is done by people like you and I. And this you need to hear, James. You know, you keep talking about in our time of you getting ready to be baptized, how you were going to change. Here is baptism at work. Whenever you give a panhandle or a dollar. Whenever you help a person whose car is stuck in a ditch. Help a person across the street. Give a few bucks or a can of beans to a food bank. Run a Meals on Wheels program. Pick up old candy wrappers and pop cans laying around in the woods. Or at some point, you may see a person who is struggling paying for their groceries, and you play it forward, and you pay for their groceries. The most amazing thing happened to me this week. I was at a restaurant with a friend, and as we were sitting there, apparently they'd heard us talking about God's love. And when I got up to the counter to pay for my friend's meal and mine, the person that had overheard that conversation had already paid the meal and said thank you. Have no idea. We don't know. The littlest things. You have no idea who you're speaking to when you do those things. Third and the final point. And James, again, you asked this question, how are things going to be different? This is how they're different. You focus on God. I know we do that all the time. We talk about it all the time. But once you're baptized, you want to focus. You want to ask that question. You know, they did it several years ago. What would Jesus do? Amen? Well, what would God have you to do in situations? Oh, wait, I know. Be fair. Be merciful and be humble in your relationship with God. The focus is on God. And by the way, if you do that, then you don't focus on the evil. See, I think one of the biggest problems that we have in the world today is we are far too focused on all the bad crap that's going on. Amen? We are worried about what people are doing to one another. What we ought to be worried about is how we can love one another, how we can uplift one another, how we can support one another. Because my God, if we do nothing, then our relationship with God dies, we die, and our baptism fades away. By the way, did anybody get the answer to the riddle yet? Billy?
You get to tell us. What is it?
What is stronger than God?
Nothing.
What is more evil than God?
Nothing.
Poor people have nothing. Rich people don't need nothing. And if you eat it, nothing, you will die. Brothers and sisters, the moment of baptism is not about doing nothing. It is about making a lifelong commitment to God. God bless you this morning.